Thanksgiving, widely celebrated in America, but a bit of an unknown in the UK. So what is it? What are the origins of Thanksgiving and how has it evolved? This episode is going to be a look at Thanksgiving for anyone that only knows the top level, but of some tips and tricks for marketers that might be looking to get in on that turkey-fueled action. So I'm hopefully looking forward to making Thanksgiving a bit more clear.
Marvin and May Clear, we're here to educate. From beginners to pros, we'll elevate. Bringing the insights like a blazing spark. Together we'll conquer, leaving our mark.
Welcome to Marketing Made Clear. I'm your host, Will Green. And I'm joined, as always, by my assistant, Marketing Artificial Intelligence Technology, otherwise known as MATE.
How do you partner?
My aim, as always, is to make marketing clear. Each episode will dive into a specific topic, and today's topic is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Okay, so I've worked on a couple of episodes up until this point, which seem to have gone down really well. We learnt about Halloween and then Guy Fawkes Night. But this time of year seems to be full of those kind of celebratory events, probably because it's damp and dreary. But there's one that I have to admit I'm not particularly clued up on, and that is Thanksgiving. So what better way to learn than to force myself into researching the topic? In the UK, Thanksgiving tends to be something that we hear about generally in popular culture. American shows reference the holiday, of course, but we don't actually celebrate it in the UK, so I'm not as clued up as I should be. For a UK audience, the closest comparison might be something like the Harvest Festival, but that isn't really celebrated in the same way that Thanksgiving is. But Thanksgiving is one of the most beloved holidays in North America, so it'd be good to know a little bit more about it for many reasons, really. Like, if you're a marketer based outside of the US, like me, and you're going to be speaking to colleagues based in the US, or maybe you're planning a campaign in America, or maybe you just want to increase your general knowledge. I would imagine that if you are based in the US, you'll know most of this, but you never know. So, if you're like me and need to start from the basics, what is Thanksgiving? Mate, can you help me out with this bit?
Yes, sirree, Bob. The story of Thanksgiving in America is often told through the lens of a meal shared between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Native Americans in 1621, but this is not the complete recipe.
Oh, nice. This sounds good. I did know that, actually. These are Pilgrims that left on the Mayflower from Southampton, and later Plymouth.
You betcha. In the early 1600s, a group of English Puritans, frustrated by religious persecution, sought freedom to worship as they saw fit. After some time in the Netherlands, a group of these religious separatists decided to make the perilous journey to the New World. Aboard the Mayflower, they sailed to what would become Plymouth, Massachusetts, in 1620.
It's so crazy how we keep coming back to these themes in the historical episodes. Religion in the 1600s seems to have caused a lot of change. To think that these people would make such a perilous journey to free persecution, they must have really wanted to get away. I definitely didn't know that some of these pilgrims came from the Netherlands, by the way.
Let's not mince words. It was a tough voyage, with around 100 passengers enduring disease and rough seas. Upon their arrival, their prospects looked bleak as winter settled in. Half the colony perished from starvation and cold. However, those who survived saw hope as the first buds of spring bloomed in 1621.
Wow, not a great start. I get really seasick, so I don't think I'd have fared very well. But again, this is the time of James I, who featured in our Bonfire Night episode, because the Pilgrim Fathers set sail just 15 years after the Guy Fawkes gunpowder plot of 1605. As I said in that episode, and I'll recap here very quickly, England was deeply divided along religious lines. It's also something we went into the detail of in the Halloween episode. But King Henry VIII's break from the Catholic Church in the 1530s had led to the Protestant Church of England becoming the dominant faith. When James VI of Scotland ascended to the throne as James I of England, while Catholics had initially hoped that James might be a bit more tolerant of their faith, they were quickly disappointed. Despite having a Catholic mother, James pursued the strict Protestant policies of his predecessor, continuing to impose fines and legal penalties on those practicing Catholicism.
Okay, Sparky, great knowledge, back to our tale. Enter Squanto, a Native American from the Patuxet tribe who spoke English due to his earlier capture and enslavement by an English sea captain.
Whoops, good old English colonialists again. Sorry.
Patuxet became an invaluable ally to the struggling pilgrims, teaching them to plant corn, fish, and collect natural resources. His help, along with that of the Wampanoag people, enabled the colony to survive its second winter.
Okay, cool. I think that's along the lines of what I had understood. And then Thanksgiving came later to pay respects to those Native Americans for helping them out, right?
That's affirmative. In the autumn of 1621, the pilgrims invited their Wampanoag neighbors for a feast of thanks. While there were no pumpkin pies or cranberry sauce, there was a spread that likely included venison, corn, and fowl, possibly turkey or ducks. The first Thanksgiving meal was a cultural exchange of food and goodwill. Though it was a feast to celebrate survival, it wasn't yet a national holiday.
Oh, so it wasn't definitely turkey then. I know that turkeys are originally from North America, but I looked it up and it seems they have been there for about 20 million years. I also read that pre-Aztec and Aztec peoples domesticated turkeys over 2,000 years ago and considered them as sacred. Here's a fun fact for you. Spanish traders brought domesticated turkeys to Europe and Asia in the 1500s, and Europeans named turkeys after the African guinea fowl, which was imported into Europe from Turkey.
That's a hot fact, bro.
Also, I have a bit of a personal connection to this as well. My parents actually got married in a small village in Buckinghamshire called Jordans. It's where my mum grew up as well. Jordans is famous for being a Quaker village, and it's also where William Penn is buried. For those that don't instantly know who that is, William Penn was an English writer, religious thinker, and influential Quaker who founded the province of Pennsylvania during the British colonial era. And you guessed it, he did so as a refuge for Quakers and other religious minorities of Europe who were also being persecuted. Jordans is also famous for being where Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne live when they're in the UK. But my parents were married in the Mayflower Barn in Jordans, called so because it's said to be made from the timbers of the Mayflower vessel that was broken up in 1624. My mum said they used to get tons of American tourists around Jordans coming to see the grave of William Penn and the Mayflower Barn, and they would tour the visitors around the village just making shit up. Jordans is amazing though. I have so many fond memories of visiting that village, and now it's where my grandparents are buried. So let's get back to Thanksgiving and the formation of the tradition through the 17th and 18th centuries. Because more and more English settlers are arriving in North America. And there's recorded evidence of more of these Thanksgiving-like events in various colonies. But they weren't a standardised tradition. They were a bit more sporadic, often after major events like military victories or abundant harvests. Some days were focused on religious fasting and prayer, while others had feasts akin to what we think of today. So, mate, where did the tradition originate from?
Well, then, Buster, in New England, Thanksgiving became a regional tradition largely thanks to its Puritan roots. Elsewhere, particularly in the South, the holiday didn't catch on quite as quickly. After all, they were more invested in the agricultural cycles of tobacco and rice plantations than in giving thanks for squash and maize.
Right you are. So that's the agricultural connection then, which makes a lot of sense. In so many different cultures, at the end of harvest, you tend to get a feast. That's because there would sometimes be an abundance of food before rationing and eking out the food in less abundant times. Then by the looks of it, we need to fast forward to the Revolutionary War to get solidifying of Thanksgiving alongside the birth of America.
Exactamundo. During the Revolutionary War, the Continental Congress declared several days of Thanksgiving, asking citizens to reflect on the battles and hardships overcome in their struggle for independence. In 1789, George Washington, the first President of the United States, declared the first National Thanksgiving Day, calling for a public day of thanks to celebrate the successful formation of the new American government. However, this was another of these one-off events.
Oosh. Tantalizing. So we're getting there, right? I can see how these national days are coming about and transitioning from harvest Thanksgiving to more general Thanksgivings. I'd say that to this point, that's all fairly clear. But these days, when the term Thanksgiving is used, we don't think of a general event. We think specifically of the event held on the fourth Thursday of November every year. So the development of that Thanksgiving was largely shaped by the efforts of one woman, Sarah Josepha Buell Hale, who lived between 1788 and 1879. And Sarah was an American writer, activist, and the editor of the most widely circulated magazine in the period before the Civil War, Godey's Ladies Book.
I'm a lady, you see. Please, pay me no heed.
Hale is best remembered as the author of the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, though we suspect Mary's lamb wasn't destined for the dinner table. In the mid-19th century, Hale began campaigning for Thanksgiving to become a national holiday through countless letters to politicians, presidents, and articles in her magazine, Godey's Ladies Book. She highlighted Thanksgiving's value in promoting unity in a deeply divided nation. And wow, fair play to her. She obviously felt very strongly about it to go to those lengths. Food does bring people together, though, through shared experiences, trying new foods, cooking together, or as a conversation starter or icebreaker. It works. Anyway, finally, in 1863, during the American Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln declared Thanksgiving a national holiday to be celebrated on the final Thursday in November. Lincoln's proclamation sought to create a sense of national solidarity, even as the country was fractured by war. So I would say that before I did the research, this is news to me. I'd thought that the coming together was with Native Americans and the European settlers that went out to North America. I hadn't realised it was so related to the Civil War. So mate, tell me about the first Thanksgiving dinner then.
While the first Thanksgiving meal likely included turkey, it wasn't the exclusive star of the show. However, by the 19th century, turkey became a central symbol of the Thanksgiving feast.
Why turkey?
Well, they were native to North America, large enough to feed a family, and more practical than using cows or chickens.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, today I think turkey is synonymous with Thanksgiving. But in researching this episode, it seems that its status as the holiday star has been cemented by cultural tradition and Norman Rockwell's famous paintings. And if that reference means nothing to you, well, Norman Rockwell is one of America's most celebrated 20th century artists. Rockwell created an iconic image of Thanksgiving as part of his Four Freedoms series, inspired by President Franklin D. Roosevelt's 1941 State of Union Address. The painting most associated with Thanksgiving is Freedom from Want in 1943, which has become a cultural touchstone for the holiday. The painting depicts a multi-generational family gathered around a table for a feast. At the centre of the scene, a matriarch and patriarch, modelled after Rockwell's own family members, are seen presenting a large roast turkey, symbolising abundance. So while the painting does not explicitly reference Thanksgiving, the elements, family, food, and the central turkey have become synonymous with the holiday in American culture. The painting became emblematic of Thanksgiving during World War II, when it was used to rally American morale. It captured the longing for family and normality during a time of global conflict and became an aspirational image for many Americans. If you look at it, you may or may not recognize the image, but I think you will definitely recognize the style. Anyway, many of the classic Thanksgiving foods that we think of today, like mashed potatoes, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin pie, are 19th century additions, not colonial staples. I think many of these have been influenced by the good old English roast dinner.
The meal has evolved into a celebration of autumn's bounty, though it bears only a passing resemblance to the fare of the Pilgrims and Native Americans. The pumpkin pie, now a Thanksgiving staple, would probably not have been possible in the early 1600s since the Pilgrims didn't have ovens.
Yeah, I mean, pumpkin pie isn't really a thing in the UK as far as I'm aware. We tend to have stuff like pumpkin soup. Also, we tend to have roast potatoes rather than mash. So, from the Civil War onwards, an annual Thanksgiving is in place. But then, as with every cultural event, things morph and change over time.
That's right. So in the 20th century, Thanksgiving became more than just a family gathering. It became synonymous with American football.
Ah, right. The football that is played mainly with the hands, with a ball that's not actually ball-shaped, right?
Yeah, the tradition started in the late 1800s when college football teams began scheduling games on Thanksgiving Day. Today, the NFL holds several games every Thanksgiving, providing families with a post-dinner activity as they cheer on their teams while battling food comas.
To the end zone, touchdown! William Green, a 21-yard touchdown run extending the Browns' lead.
Okay, that's cool. I can totally relate to that. In the UK, we tend to schedule games on Boxing Day and New Year's Day. I used to work as a security guard at Southampton Football Club, and I loved those games. There was such a great atmosphere. And my family live all over the UK, so more recently, it's become a bit of a family tradition to meet up and go to the Boxing Day game, and I love it.
Do you know about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
No, I don't. Please tell me about it.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade has become another hallmark of modern Thanksgiving. First held in 1924, this parade is broadcast nationwide, complete with enormous character balloons, marching bands, and celebrity performances. For many Americans, the parade is as much a part of Thanksgiving as the feast itself.
Hold on, is that the parade that's in the film Miracle on 34th Street?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. So, also, when researching Thanksgiving, I also came across another element, which is the community and charitable aspect. Many communities hold things like food drives or soup kitchens to ensure that everybody has a meal on Thanksgiving. I think that's a lovely touch. And let's not forget, the day after Thanksgiving has morphed into Black Friday, an entirely different kind of feast, for shopping. What was once a quiet day of post-feast relaxation has turned into a full-blown retail extravaganza, as stores offer steep discounts to kick off the Christmas shopping season. So I was going to do an episode on Black Friday, but I've totally run out of time, so I think I'll keep that up my sleeve for next year. But in a nutshell, mate, quickfire music please. The term Black Friday didn't originate in retail. Its roots trace back to the 19th century, associated with financial crises. The most notable was Black Friday of 1869, when a gold market crash caused economic turmoil in the United States. Fast forward to the 20th century, and the phrase took on a more familiar connotation, but not in a way that would excite marketers just yet. In the 1950s, police in Philadelphia used Black Friday to describe the chaos that ensued the day after Thanksgiving. Suburban shoppers flocked to the city ahead of the annual Army-Navy football game, causing gridlock and overburdening law enforcement. It wasn't exactly a positive term until retailers recognised its potential. As Black Friday has gone global, marketers have had to adapt their strategies to local markets. For example, in the UK, where Thanksgiving isn't celebrated, brands must create standalone campaigns that resonate culturally while maintaining the global Black Friday identity. So like I said, I'll go into that in more detail next year. But for now, I want to go on a bit of a tangent, because there's a bit of forgotten history that irks me a bit, I'll be honest.
A splendid new ocean terminal is opened at Southampton by the South African High Commissioner, Mr. G.P. Euster.
Although I was born in Australia, I grew up in Southampton. Yep, gateway to the world. Departure point of the Titanic. Departure point for the Battle of Agincourt. Birthplace of UK garage legend Craig David. And although popular memory places the Pilgrim's departure from Plymouth, it was Southampton, yes, beautiful sunny Southampton, where their journey truly began. The story of how they initially set sail from Southampton only to make a pit stop in Plymouth reveals the logistical and financial struggles they faced before even touching American soil. So, in the summer of 1620, two ships were being readied in Southampton for the Pilgrim's journey to the New World, the famous Mayflower and its lesser-known counterpart, the Speedwell. The departure from Southampton was delayed several weeks as the Pilgrims and their London investors, known as the Adventurers, negotiated the final details of their journey, including supplies, provisions, and the terms of repayment. This partnership was a precarious one. The Adventurers expected a return on their investment in the form of resources from the New World, while the Pilgrims were focused on religious freedom. The Mayflower was a pretty sturdy vessel of about 100 feet, which was built for long sea journeys. The Speedwell, on the other hand, was smaller and had previously been a coastal trading ship, designed more for short trips than a transatlantic voyage. You can see where this is going. The two ships left Southampton on August the 5th, 1620, with high hopes. But shortly after they had set sail, the Speedwell began leaking. They were forced to pull into Dartmouth just down the coast for repairs, and they set off once again. However, within just a few hundred miles, the Speedwell began leaking once more, this time so badly that the two ships were forced to turn back again, this time docking at Plymouth. The dream of leaving from Southampton had quickly floundered, and by the time they reached Plymouth, it was clear that the Speedwell could not make the journey. Some historians believe that the ship's crew might have actually intentionally sabotaged the vessel, fearing the dangers of a lengthy voyage across the Atlantic. So in Plymouth, the pilgrims abandoned the Speedwell entirely. Some passengers stayed behind, which supports the conspiracy theory a bit, don't you think? But those that did go had to pack tightly onto one ship, adjusting the provisions and supplies to fit the reduced capacity. So on September the 6th, the Mayflower finally set sail from Plymouth. While this marked the official beginning of the historical journey, the importance of Southampton as the original departure point is often overlooked. Basically, had the shitty Speedwell been seaworthy, it's likely that Southampton, not Plymouth, would have been celebrated as the Pilgrim's final point of departure. So while Plymouth may be enshrined in all the history books as the launch point of the Pilgrim's journey, Southampton deserves its due credit as the site where the expedition was truly prepared, provisioned, and first set in motion. Without Southampton's resources and the Pilgrim's initial optimism when they set sail from there, the Mayflower might never have made its fateful voyage to the New World. Whether you see that as a good thing or a bad thing, I'm still claiming this for Southampton. Okay, rant over. Let's look at Thanksgiving and marketing. Right, if you're marketing products and services in America, you can definitely capitalize on Thanksgiving in several ways by leveraging the unique cultural, emotional, and commercial aspects of the holiday. So here are some strategies that marketers can use to maximize this opportunity. So number one is to emphasize family, gratitude, and togetherness. Thanksgiving is meant to be a time when people gather with loved ones, so marketing campaigns that evoke feelings of warmth, family, and gratitude can resonate deeply. Brands can create narratives around family traditions, the spirit of giving thanks, and the importance of togetherness. You can do this with
content marketing.
Share heartwarming stories, customer testimonials, or employee experiences around Thanksgiving. Create content that highlights how your products or services contribute to making Thanksgiving celebrations more memorable or convenient.
User-generated content.
Encourage customers to share their Thanksgiving experiences using your products, whether it's a family recipe or home decor, with branded hashtags to build community and showcase real-life moments.
Charitable campaigns.
Align with the spirit of giving by partnering with charities or organizing food drives. Brands that demonstrate corporate social responsibility, such as donating a portion of sales to those in need, can enhance their image. Number two is holiday-themed promotions. Thanksgiving leads to one of the biggest shopping weekends of the year, so offering promotions and discounts around the holiday can be very effective.
Pre-Black Friday sales.
Start offering early discounts or bundle deals leading up to Black Friday. Use Thanksgiving as a softer launch for promotional offers, creating urgency before the weekend rush.
Exclusive Thanksgiving offers.
Offer discounts on products that tie into the Thanksgiving theme, such as cookware, home goods, food items, because everyone loves a foodie present, don't they? Make those offers limited time, highlighting them as Thanksgiving specials.
Loyalty programs.
Reward loyal customers with Thanksgiving themed perks, such as discounts, free shipping, or special offers. Position these offers as a way to thank them for their continued support throughout the year. Number three is to create Thanksgiving specific products. Developing products that are directly tied to Thanksgiving can give marketers a unique angle.
Limited edition products.
Release Thanksgiving-themed versions of existing products such as unique packaging, special flavors like turkey, pumpkin spice, or cranberry, or seasonal colors. These limited edition items create a sense of urgency and exclusivity.
Thanksgiving meal kits.
For food brands or grocery stores, consider offering Thanksgiving meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and recipes to make Thanksgiving dinner preparation easier. Number four is to focus on health and wellness. As Thanksgiving is a time of indulgence, brands that focus on health and wellness can market themselves as part of post-holiday recovery or balance.
Promote healthy alternatives.
Market healthier versions of traditional Thanksgiving foods or offer tips for balancing indulgence with healthy choices. For example, advertise low-calorie desserts or plant-based options for Thanksgiving meals.
Fitness offers.
For fitness brands, Thanksgiving is a great opportunity to offer special promotions on fitness programs or equipment, encouraging people to stay active despite holiday feasting. And finally, number 5 is storytelling in advertising. Thanksgiving is a time when people are in a reflective and sentimental mood. Brands can create memorable ads that tell heartfelt stories about family, gratitude, or the origin of Thanksgiving traditions.
TV and digital ads.
Run adverts that focus on the themes of connection and appreciation. The goal should be to make an emotional impact, leaving a lasting impression on viewers that goes beyond the holiday itself. By creating campaigns that evoke emotion and capitalize on holiday shopping and provide value to customers, running a US campaign can fully take advantage of the Thanksgiving season. And actually, it's not just the USA that celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
Thanksgiving is equally huge in Canada, but they celebrate it on the second Monday in October, so make sure you get your dates right. The Dutch celebrate a version of Thanksgiving called Dankdag, which is basically Thank Day, which focuses on the perseverance of early American settlers. Many pilgrims lived in Leiden, a city in the Netherlands where pilgrims took a break during their journey to America. In Brazil, it's common for people to celebrate Dia de Acao de Gracias. How do you say that, mate?
Dia de Acao de Gracias.
On the fourth Thursday in November, with a parade, church service, and carnival. In Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, a kind of Thanksgiving is celebrated with parades, music, and church services. Other countries that actually celebrate the US-style Thanksgiving include St. Lucia, Liberia, the Philippines, Norfolk Island, Japan, Mexico, Ghana, Rwanda, and Poland. But obviously, all these regional versions have their own nuances, so make sure you do your research before going full pelt into an American-style Thanksgiving campaign in one of those regions. Personally, I wouldn't recommend a Thanksgiving campaign in the UK or Australia. I think it would be seen as overly American and kind of irrelevant.
Look at those lovely little cockles, and you know me, I never look when I pour my vinegar, because I'm the absolute governor.
Right. At the risk of being called Captain Killjoy, as I have done for both the Halloween and Guy Fawkes episodes, I'm going to talk about the controversies around Thanksgiving. The controversies, or let's say debates, range from the holiday's origins and the treatment of Native Americans to its commercialization and impact on the environment. Here's an overview of the key controversies.
Number 1. The myth of the first Thanksgiving.
So the traditional narrative of Thanksgiving, centered around the pilgrims and Native Americans sitting down together for a harmonious feast in 1621, is often viewed as an oversimplification of a much more complex and problematic history. This is often described as a sanitized story, which has led to the holiday being seen by some as the distortion of the colonization experience. The image of pilgrims and Native Americans sharing a peaceful meal has been perpetuated in American culture, especially through school lessons and media. However, many historians point out that the actual relationship between European settlers and Native American tribes was far more fraught with tension, violence, and betrayal. I recommend listening to the Rest is History podcast on this part of history and Time Suck. They also do a great podcast on events in history like the Trail of Tears. In Massachusetts, after the 1621 feast, tensions soon escalated. And over the next few decades, Native American tribes were displaced, mistreated, and decimated by diseases brought by the colonists. The harsh reality is often left out by the Thanksgiving story. But back to this point about the Thanksgiving myth, which is a harsh but potentially fair label for the holiday. Like we covered in the episode, Thanksgiving as a holiday wasn't celebrated until the 19th century, and the 1621 event was not seen as the first of many annual celebrations. This leads critics to accuse the holiday of being rooted in a misleading origin myth. Okay, so it's uncomfortable, but I guess this is a fair observation. But I would say that an annual tradition centred around togetherness is actually better than an annual tradition centred around division.
Number 2, colonialism and indigenous genocide.
So to continue that last point, from the Native American perspective, many Native Americans view Thanksgiving not as a time for celebration, but as a reminder of the atrocities committed against their ancestors by European settlers. Since 1970, many Native Americans have observed Thanksgiving as a national day of mourning to acknowledge the displacement, genocide, and ongoing oppression of indigenous peoples. This is particularly prominent along the Wampanoag, whose ancestors were present at the 1621 feast. The day is used to reflect on the destruction of native culture and the ongoing challenges that native communities face today. Thanksgiving is inextricably linked to the broader history of European colonization of the Americas, which led to the systematic destruction of Native American cultures, lands, and populations. When European settlers arrived in the New World, they brought with them diseases like smallpox, which decimated Native American populations. Additionally, colonists forcibly took over indigenous lands, leading to the displacement and death of countless native people. Less than a generation after the first Thanksgiving, conflicts such as King Philip's War, which happened between 1675 and 1678, erupted between the colonists and Native American tribes, resulting in widespread destruction of indigenous communities in New England. These later events often undermine the narrative of harmony associated with the holiday.
Number 3, commercialization of Thanksgiving.
The transformation of Thanksgiving from a simple day of gratitude into a highly commercialized holiday has also drawn criticism. And as marketers and capitalists, if that's how you identify, we're right in the firing line here. But the focus on consumerism often overshadows the original intent of the holiday, and that's caused several related controversies. I guess this is probably not what Sarah Josepha Buell Hale was campaigning for all those years ago. And perhaps the most glaring example of Thanksgiving's commercialization is the rise of Black Friday, the major shopping event that takes place the day after Thanksgiving. For many, the transition from giving thanks to rampant consumerism feels jarring and hypocritical. And Black Friday deals often start way before Thanksgiving, forcing retail workers to sacrifice their holiday with family. Critics argue that the pressure to shop takes away from the holiday's purpose of reflection and gratitude. Some argue that Thanksgiving's association with shopping has diluted its deeper cultural meaning, turning it into the kickoff for the holiday shopping season rather than a day of rest and reflection.
Number 4, environmental and ethical concerns.
So Thanksgiving's traditional feast, with its emphasis on meat and mass food production, has also raised ethical and environmental issues. The production of millions of turkeys for Thanksgiving has raised concerns about the conditions in which these animals are raised. Factory farms are criticised for unethical treatment of animals and the use of hormones and antibiotics and the environmental consequences of industrial-scale agriculture. Thanksgiving meals, especially those focused on turkey, can have a high environmental impact, contributing to greenhouse gas emissions, deforestation and water use. In recent years, there's been a growing movement to promote plant-based Thanksgiving meals, which are seen as more ethical and environmentally friendly. I'm certainly not going to delve into this debate right now. It's a far too complex area to talk about with regenerative and sustainable farming practices. We're lucky in the UK, actually, because we have a good standard of ethics in the farming industry, but that isn't necessarily true for all countries. Also, Thanksgiving is centred around an elaborate feast, but the sheer volume of food consumption has raised concerns about waste and the environmental impact. It's estimated that millions of pounds of food are wasted every Thanksgiving, including uneaten turkey, sides, and desserts. This contributes to broader concerns about food insecurity and the environmental impact of food waste.
Number 5, the evolving meaning of Thanksgiving.
It's clear that Thanksgiving's meaning has shifted over time, and many Americans view it differently based on their cultural, religious, and political perspectives. These differing viewpoints have contributed to various social and political debates around the holiday. As the US has become more diverse, so too have Thanksgiving traditions. For many immigrant families, Thanksgiving provides an opportunity to blend their cultural heritage with American customs. Many families adapt Thanksgiving to include foods and traditions from their cultural backgrounds, creating a more inclusive version of the holiday. However, some feel that the holiday's focus on a largely European narrative may not reflect the experiences of many Americans. In recent years, Thanksgiving has also become a battleground for political and social issues, from debates about what it means to be American to clashes over the commercialization of the holiday. Thanksgiving has become a symbol of broader cultural divides. The holiday has actually become notorious for awkward or heated political discussions during family gatherings. As American politics become more polarized, Thanksgiving can sometimes highlight differences in beliefs rather than unity.
I need water. Help me. I need water.
For some, Thanksgiving serves as a way to affirm their sense of American identity, while for others, the holiday serves as a reminder of the contradictions in American history, particularly regarding the treatment of Native Americans. And there we have it. Thanksgiving has been covered. I think it's probably time to wrap things up. Right, so though Thanksgiving is distinctly American, it's rooted in traditions of harvest festivals that were common in Europe. In the US, Thanksgiving has grown into a major national event with historical, cultural, and commercial significance. At its heart, Thanksgiving remains a day to pause and reflect on the blessings and challenges of the year, a time to connect with family and friends over a shared meal. If you ever find yourself in the US during late November, get ready to loosen your belt, dive into a plate of turkey, and perhaps give a cheer for your favourite American football team. Which brings me on to the fact that I actually don't have an American football team, but I know I have quite a few listeners in LA and across America. So guys, who should I be supporting? The LA Rams? The LA Chargers? Let me know. But Thanksgiving remains a beloved holiday for many. But it's also a deeply contested one, with layers of historical, cultural, and ethical issues. While some view it as a time of gratitude and family unity, others see it as a reminder of the painful legacy of colonization, displacement, and environmental degradation. These controversies have spurred discussions on how to observe the holiday in ways that are more inclusive, respectful, and sustainable. As a marketer, Thanksgiving is a great opportunity for campaigns, where you can focus on the themes that I talked about, like family gratitude and togetherness, themed products and promotions, a focus on health and wellness, or using storytelling as a narrative. And don't forget, the Mayflower fucking left from Southampton, right? Well, thanks for joining me. I hope this has got you in the mood for some delicious food or to plan a campaign around Thanksgiving, if your target audience is interested, of course. In the next episode, we'll look at the fascinating topic of marketing around Christmas. How exciting. To support the podcast, please do subscribe and check out my website, marketingmadeclear.com. If you'd like to suggest a topic, correct anything I messed up, or just drop me a line, email will@marketingmadeclear.com. Please follow Marketing Made Clear on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. And I'd like to give you my thanks once again for all your support. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Mr. American Pie.
Marketing Made Clear, we're here at Kate. From beginners to pros, we'll elevate. Bringing the insights like a blazing spark. Together we'll conquer, leaving a mark.